This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia with Tip from Gilbert, Talk, Inspiration, and Prayer. Listen to my show every Monday from 11 to 12 on KWWJ, 1360 AM, KYOK, 1140 AM, KCOH at 1230KCOH.com, St. Keith Radio at 95.1 FM, 1460 AM, and Latino Sports, KEYH, 850 AM. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then. All right, Houston, this is Gilbert Garcia. Another tip for me, talk, inspiration, and prayer. And we have a somber show today, and I'll explain in just a moment. And I have, of course, my sidekick, Ruby Dang. Ruby, welcome to the show.
Hi, Gilbert.
Well, it's a somber moment. And, you know, in times like these, you can't help but to question your faith somehow. And I'm talking, of course, about the incredible floods in Kerr County, Texas, and Camp Mystic and what happened to them and other things. And I have one of the main persons from Camp Mystic where she sent a tweet, and I'm going to read that later on today. And, of course, I have a prayer that I'm going to read. And, Ruby, it's one of those things because your kids were counselors many years right next to the sister camp of Camp Mystic. Is that correct?
Yes. So both my kids, I've got a son, Christopher, who is 22, and my daughter, Claudia, who's 20. They were campers and then became counselors at Camp Rio Vista and Sierra Vista. So they did a lot of things with Camp Mystic. So they are right there on the Guadalupe. And, you know, they spent this is the first year they didn't go. They have been going Wow. as campers and counselors for 13 years.
Can you imagine if they had gone?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah.
Who knows?
Yes, I'm very blessed.
And it seems like the death toll, and I hate to even say such mm-hmm. a thing as death toll, but it's 80 people. And, you know, they're still looking.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Camp Mystic has, you know, so many people that they lost, including young kids.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine the pain that those families are going through.
No.
It's awful.
It is awful. It is awful. We, you know, we have their families in our prayers because, I mean, my kids were part of that, you know, growing up. And, you know, it was incredible. I think that itself and them attending as campers and counselors, it really molded them to be wonderful human beings. So, I mean, the camp's been there for over 100 years.
Can you imagine that? And then here, in just a blink of an eye, mm-hmm. in a matter of 2 or 3 hours, the floods came in, I saw some of the pictures. They were devastating.
Terrible.
Devastating. We have a caller already. Listen, I see Dominic. Dominic, are you there?
Yeah, let me turn the other thing down. Okay, can you talk? Okay.
Go, pal.
You know, as a person who's been trained in amateur radio as a paramedic and all that kind of stuff, there's one thing about that situation up in Carter that really bothers me. You know, at the camp, all along that area has been known for flash floods for years. My thing is, why weren't people, say, number one, in the Kerr County Emergency Management Center, wasn't anybody listening to the National Weather Service or something like that, and they say, hey, wait a minute, this don't look so hot. Let's start evacuating people.
Yeah, I mean,
and two,
along the
river, too, with a cell phone, you can get warnings about you know, what's going on. Somebody should have been up at night with a cell phone, yeah. Or you can buy one of these no-weather radios that makes the alarm go off.
Yep.
You know, I think it's sad what happened is, but considering the history of the area, I think people were they're not adequately prepared, like, for instance.
Yeah. You know, Dominic, I'm going to apologize. You know what? I have my phones are just lighting up already. Can you stay on for a minute? Because I got former mayor, Anise Parker. Let me put her in real quick.
Go ahead, Anise. Go ahead.
But, okay, call me back, okay? Because I really want to talk to you.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, pal. Let's see if Anise Parker is there. Anise Parker. Mayor Anise Parker, are you there? Can you hear me, Anise?
I can.
Mayor, how are you?
I am doing very well, but I've been listening to the show, and we're all just wrecked by what's going on in the Hill Country.
I mean, let me ask you this, Mayor, and for everybody, this is Mayor Anise Parker, who's been a public service, a public servant for, golly, what is it now, 18 years or so, and I understand she's going to be going to continue that legacy really soon, and we're going to talk about that in one moment. But, Mayor, have you seen anything like that? And when you were mayor or when you were city controller, was there what's the closest equivalent? And how do you think, you know, a CEO of a city or a county or something, how do they handle such an emergency?
So, yes, you know, Houston has had some devastating floods. I had some major floods on my watch as mayor. And the first priority is to try to warn people as soon as you get good information. And then it's the rescue. And while hope is dimming, the rescue is still going on. And then it becomes about recovery, because everybody deserves closure and to know what actually happened to their loved ones. There's plenty of time to figure out what happened when and, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda. But right now, it's all about the missing and their families.
Oh, that is so true, Anise. And by the way, Mayor, we have Ruby Dang, my sidekick, with me on this show today. And Mayor, there's no doubt. It's all about the blame game can go on later. Right now, it's save human lives and rebuild all those areas, because when you look at the storm and all the water, Mayor, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
Well, it washed out bridges and roads, and there are people isolated. One of the things I've seen a lot in social media is, well, why the heck didn't they get out? People in other parts of the country truly don't understand what a flash flood is. When they say flash, mm-hmm. it's real. It can come up in a matter of minutes. And, you know, some of these areas, the water rose, you know, 20, 28 feet. It's actually the first few feet usually that traps people. There'll be some low water crossing. And the one thing we learn if you live in flood country is that when you see the water rising in the creek and it's coming across the road and you're, you know, it's more than maybe about 6 inches, you do not go into that, because that is enough to sweep your car away.
Wow.
And so then you're trapped on an island in the water, and then you have to hope that it stays, you know, that you can reach higher ground where you are. Most of these floods, the floodwaters came in the middle of the night, between midnight and 4 a.m. So, I mean, everything that could go wrong for those people was happening at once. And, you know, again, flash floods, they happen miles away from where you are,
mm-hmm.
and they can travel so quickly. But you're looking at it, there's no rain, it's a nice night, you're sound asleep, and then the wall of water hits.
Gosh.
People just don't understand what we're dealing with here. So, yes, there are things you can do in advance, and we probably could have done a better job, but there's plenty of time for that later.
Wow. Mayor, you know, you're giving me a just a visual that is so powerful, this whole thing about the first 2 feet, you got to, you know, move quick, because that's what happens. And when the water rises, your car gets, you know, swept away. I can just see that visual. Well, let me ask you this, Mayor, because under your mayoral administration, you really focus a lot on flooding. And, you know, what are your thoughts now about, have we come a long way? Do we have more to go? And what do you think the role is of the county versus the city on flooding?
So I'm not going to be cavalier about this, but we all have to understand where we built our city. We built our city in the coastal prairie, flat coastal prairie, and it's just like a sponge that all the water that falls on the, all that water that's fallen in the Hill Country, it'll eventually work its way down here and flow into the bayous that come through Houston. We're the narrow part of the funnel. Houston has flooded long before there was a single human being living here. It flooded when it was just the Kanakawa Indians. We haven't done much to help that. That said, we have made massive investments in
changing how we manage flooding in Houston, primarily since, from Alicia to Allison. Remember when the Med Center went underwater? Mm-hmm.
I remember all the vividly.
And all the work that the county has done on particularly Braes Bio and the floodgates that we have in downtown to protect the tunnels and the floodgates that we have in the Med Center. We've made massive investments to keep water out of critical infrastructure, but there's still a lot of water and it's still going to move through our region, and then we're still going to have places that flood. The county has spent billions. They had major bond elections, I think 2018, went back again in 2022. It takes a lot of time to get these projects done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are environmental issues that have to be navigated. They're trying to leverage funds from other places, and there's never enough money to do all of the projects. You know, when we had Harvey here, and you know, the truly massive flooding from Harvey, and then the flooding that happened when the Army Corps of Engineers opened the dams. Again, Houston and Harris County, it's between the water that comes from Central Texas and then the water that comes from the Gulf. And when the tide's high and the water's coming at you, we're stuck right in the middle.
Wow.
So flooding and infrastructure has to be one of our highest priorities. Now, do I think that the county probably could have done a better job, better coordination? Yes. Are they... Did they bring in a massive amount of money to do these kinds of projects? They did, but it does take time. It cannot happen overnight. These are huge infrastructure projects.
Well, Mary, you are just listening to you. All the wisdom that you've had in your public, you know, service life and so forth, it's just coming out. It's just unbelievable, just flowing out. I'm also watching people as they say little comments, and someone said something about Mayor Parker, way to go for telling us, you know, a lot of things there. I see it's Robert Hernandez. He just said, great assessment, Mayor Parker. So I'm just going through some comments here. Mayor, you know, we need you back in public service. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get there.
But tell us all about that.
Well, I am. I have announced. Right now, I'm the only Democratic candidate announced for Harris County Judge in 2026 Democratic primary, and hopefully on to November. Although I fully expect there'll be a lot more candidates. And before anybody asks, I have no idea whether the incumbent Lina Hidalgo is going to run or not. But I think I have the skill set and the experience to lead the county. And it's not just, are there a lot of problems? It is, what is going to happen to us with what is happening in D.C. and what is happening in Austin? We have been a punching bag here for a long time. And with the big, beautiful bill that, as Trump mm-hmm. calls it, throwing people off of Medicare and Medicaid, we're the Harris County Hospital District. Dismantling FEMA. We're in the hurricane belt, and we just talked about the possibility of flooding. Laying off all the hurricane forecasters at NOAA. The infrastructure needs that we have, where the funding has to come through the federal government. All of these challenges, if we don't band together down here, if we don't figure out a way to effectively work together as a region and link our arms together, we're going to be alone down here because the feds are not coming to help. And Austin has over and over again turned our back on us.
Well, one thing I can say about you, Mayor Parker, is you've done a wonderful job of working across the aisle with people. And I think everyone respects you and your knowledge. So in my view, if anyone can really work well with the existing mayor, work well with Austin, or even work well with D.C., it's really you.
Yeah,
and
right.
So
I try not to pick stupid fights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John Lewis used to talk about good trouble. I don't mind getting into good trouble. But, you know, again, as mayor, when I needed Rick Perry or when I needed Greg Abbott, I would call on them. We had a productive working relationship. I could work with both of the senators. I disagree with them on a lot of things, but we are all Texans, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to remind them of that.
Yep.
But there's a way to do it.
Well, Mayor, real quick, give us your website. You have a website yet and things of that nature if people want to hear more about
that? Anise.
Go ahead.
It doesn't have any policies on there. It's pretty basic, but I'm Anise Parker, annisparker.com, annisparker.com. I just want people to reach out to me and we can start the conversation.
Let's do it, Mayor. I really appreciate you calling in. You added a lot to the dialogue. There's a lot of people saying, way to go, Annise Parker, here on the social media side of what we're doing. And I'm going to have you on again, Mayor. And obviously, you have my vote, Mayor.
Thank you. Love you, Gilbert. Thank you.
Thank you, lady. That's Annise Parker, y'all, who was probably, if you look back in time, one of the best mayors we've ever had in the city of Houston's history. Got along with everyone. She said it right when she said, I'm not going to pick, what was she saying, dumb fights?
Yeah.
But she's going to pick fights that are worth fighting for Houston. That's right. For sure. Well, we have other people. I want to get Father Murphy in real quick, if I could, because I just want to get Father Murphy quickly. Father Murphy, are you there? Father Murphy, did I lose him? Okay, great. Father Murphy, are you there? Hold on for Father Murphy. Father Murphy, are you there?
I am.
Father Murphy, thank you for taking time out of your busy, busy day. And I know you're going to be celebrating Mass here very soon. But I just thought it was important for Houston to kind of listen to you and Harris County to listen to you. And I have, of course, my partner with me, Ruby Dang. And Father Murphy, I'm just going to go right there. In these times, when you look at all the flooding and you hear about these children that have such beautiful lives ahead of them, that they lost their lives, and you hear the story of the two little girls that were found holding their hands. Father Murphy, someone like me, a mere mortal, just starts thinking, I don't know, questioning my own faith. Help us to figure this out. And what do you say about all that? Help us to figure it out. How do you have faith in this moment?
I think the reality is it hurts. You have to accept the reality that tragedy happens, and throughout our lives, we seem to see and encounter larger scales of tragedy. The more we engage with the world, the more we're going to see both the beauty and glory of this world and creation, but we'll also open ourselves, become vulnerable to the tragedies in our world. I find in times like this, words don't help. It's very difficult to come up with. We can have very trite hallmark expressions to try to make ourselves feel better because we feel like we have to say something. But the reality is, this is the tragedy. This is suffering. And by definition, suffering is terrible. It's not good that they're suffering.
God, you know,
but
Father.
Part of our faith, as a Roman Catholic and as a Christian, is we believe in that suffering can be redeemed, that we can learn from it, that we believe that despite all of this, God wishes to shower blessing upon us and light upon us, even in the darkest of times. As we hear about all of these, this absolute tragedy, we also see incredible heroism of this and the incredible strength of humanity in these trying times. And so when part of my experience is that, words fail us. And yet, they often say that history is written by the victors. The Bible is the absolute, is the other end. The all of the Bible is about the losers still telling their story.
Mm.
Those who have lost, those who have suffered, those who have struggled. Sometimes the suffering came from external sources. Sometimes it was internal. And yet, throughout the story of salvation history, we realize that we can grow again. Well, we have to tell those sad stories in order to understand that which is glorious.
Well, let me ask you, Father Murphy, it's just an extraordinary time, not just on this flood, but in the world. When you see conflicts and wars going on all in different places, it's just a tough time. Could I ask you a huge favor, which is, would you say a prayer for us here in Houston and Harris County and really the whole world? Because there's a lot of good in the world, but we don't hear enough about it, Father. So please say a prayer for us.
You know, I think, you know, my prayer is that all of us simply slow down, reflect on the light that we have, the blessings that we have, the people in our lives, the beauty of children that grace our world. As you began when I first got on the line, Gilbert, you talked about the beauty of these children and the hope that they have. And so I pray that all of us, rather than trying to rally to one political point or another, they first go inside to our own hearts, go into our hearts and into our understanding of the blessings and beauties of the beauty of this world. We send our children to camp because we want them to experience the beauty of nature, the beauty of a more simple life for a couple of weeks, to engage with children from other parts of our beautiful state. We pray that all of us may not lose heart, that the lives that are lost, the suffering that we experience, that we may seek to redeem it for a better world, for better lives, to celebrate and to open our eyes to see so much good in the world, and to celebrate the little things. As Jesus once told his apostles, look at the flowers in the field. They don't spin, they don't work, they don't toil. And yet Solomon in all his glory was not attired as one of these. Our world is surrounded and filled with beauty. Our creation, I firmly believe, creation continues. It is an ongoing process. And if we open our eyes to see that, then we can see the world that we're called to live in. And I pray for all of those families who have lost loved ones, who are still hoping for any sort of word, that the unknowing, the uncertainty, that terror, we pray for them, simply we pray for peace in their hearts. And we pray for all those who are going so far out of their way to ensure that no stone is left unturned, that no place is left unlooked. We see great heroism. We see great faith in action in all of this. And so my prayers for those who have suffered, pray for the lives that have been lost. And we pray that those lives that have been lost, that God bring them all together to his heavenly home, that they may now pray for us and watch over us in our grief.
Well, I tell you, Father Murphy, that is beautiful. I so appreciate you joining us. There's a lot of somberness in my office. One of my partners is a former Camp Mystic
camper.
And then, of course, Ruby's kids were part of the sister camp, which is right by there, but all on the sure. On the bank there of the Guadalupe River. I know you have to say mass, not say, yeah. of course, but celebrate the yeah. wonderful mass.
Right.
But Father Murphy, thank you for calling in. And I'm going to have you call in again, because sometimes
I appreciate it.
The most beautiful thing you said to me was, let's just slow down a little mm-hmm. bit. And yeah. thank you for that wisdom.
And why do we send it? I've been thinking about my own time as a kid going to camp up in Massachusetts to a place called Camp Holy Cross. The power of that opportunity. So why do we send our kids to camp? So that they can have a different pace in their life. We understand the power and the importance of that. So my prayers and my gratitude to you and Ruby and for all that you do, and sending my love out to you and your office, and hope to talk with you again soon.
Thank you, Father Murphy. Thank you so much, and I'm going to have you back.
Thank you very much. Take care.
God Thank you, bless. Father Murphy. That was Father Murphy, yeah, of course, from St. Thomas High School. And I mean, the whole concept of just slow down,
yeah.
just slow down a little bit. You know, I can't tell you, Ruby, how many times I go to a restaurant and I will see a family there
mm-hmm.
and not one of them is looking at another one.
Yeah,
they're all on their phone. Devices. All of them. All of them. All three kids, the parents, even the parents, they're just all looking at their phone.
Yep. Yep.
And I think we got to do better
yeah.
to stay involved in our kids' lives, to help hug them during these times, because they're going to read about this, yes. these kids, and they're going to be scared. All right, let's go back. I think Isaiah was on the line. Isaiah, are you there? Isaiah. Is there Isaiah there? Isaiah, is that you? Isaiah. Can you hear me, Isaiah? Isaiah, speak to me.
What's going on, my friend?
There you are, Isaiah. You have me, of course, and Ruby Dang. And let me, obviously, I want to get an update on the campaign trail for you, if you don't mind. But before we do that, I don't know if you have any comments about this terrible tragedy there, about, you know, at this Camp Mystic and all that. As someone who is a leader in this community, which you are, I just didn't know if you had any pearls of wisdom to share with Houston and Harris County about it and how it may have touched you.
Absolutely. I mean, first off, my heart goes out to all of the victims that have been, you know, tied up in this whole situation. It is absolutely horrific. You know, every single time I look up, it seems like the number of people affected just keeps on going up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm praying for every single one of them, as well as the first responders. But I will say this. I think that we are going to have to make sure that the United States Congress is looking into the massive cuts that we saw for the National Weather Service, for the NOAA, because all of that stuff played a role into a lot of the stuff that we're seeing right now. And so it will be a little bit too early to have that conversation, but when the time comes, I think we must be demanding a congressional investigation to look over a lot of this stuff, because something is just not right.
Well, I sure appreciate that. And why don't you give us an update? How's it been on the campaign trail for you? Again, as a reminder, Houston and Harris County, Isaiah is a candidate. First of all, was the chief of staff for the great Sheila Jackson Lee, and now he's running for Congress in CD18, which, of course, was her old seat. How's it going there, Isaiah? And I know that you're busy everywhere because you're everywhere. And I see your great, what are the right words to say? When you do a TikTok or one of your videos and you talk about things, I've seen all of them. And they're all very passionate and well done. So congratulations to you. What's going on with that campaign trail for you?
Absolutely. Well, you know, things are going great, to be honest with you. We're everywhere. We are literally going through events all around the district. You know, we are going, whether it's to churches, whether it's to community events, whether that's online, whether that's on shows like yours or Substacks or wherever, we're meeting people where they're at. I know last week when the big rip-off bill was being discussed inside of Congress, we were going to bars and talking to people. We were going to birthday parties and talking to people. We were going to talk to people because I think what we really need in this moment is someone who is not afraid to communicate, that's willing to reach people where they are. and channel that same energy. You know, I was Congresswoman Jackson Lee's senior advisor, and through that time, I got a chance to see her go everywhere and meet people where they're at. And I want to bring that same energy with a new twist, but making sure that we're constantly talking to people about the big issues that we have in front of us. Well, we don't have a member of Congress right now, and because of that, I'm really taking the responsibility seriously of letting people know about what's going on in Washington.
So let me just get this clear for everyone to hear, especially those residents of CD 18. So here you have this incredible piece of legislation, and I think we've all heard about what it's going to do to continue to keep taxes, you know, way low. It's going to lead to a big deficit, cutting back food stamps, et cetera. So you mean to tell me that here in CD 18, where there's a lot of people in need, did not have a voice and a vote in that bill?
That's right.
How can that be?
I mean, because we have a governor that's just straight up a wuss, if I'm just going to be honest. He knows very clearly that if I was inside of the United States Congress, I would have been vehemently against that bill. He knows very clearly that having somebody that can go out and talk about these issues is not what they needed. This bill passed by razor-thin margins. It was only about two votes. And right now, currently, we have three vacant seats inside the United States Congress. It's ours. We have another one in Virginia. We have another one in Arizona. So the governor understood very clearly that, you know, he wanted to delay this all the way up to November because they needed every single vote they can get. And the crazy part about this, Gilbert, is that we're going to see the same thing again when the next budget vote comes up, not too long from now. That's a couple more months. That's why he delayed it to November, because he knows having someone strong, someone unapologetic in that seat would absolutely be able to go and shut down this agenda right in front of us. And it's a very sad thing, because our district right now is going with taxation without representation. We do not have someone that can go to Washington, D.C. and fight for us right now. And it's a shame on our country. It's a shame on our Constitution. And we all should be diametrically opposed to that.
It's unbelievable, though. I mean, you said everything, and I agree with everything you said, but it's just unimaginable, right? Mm-hmm. A district that needs a lot of this support the most doesn't have a voice at all. Well, let me ask you this. I want to give you a minute here, another minute. Just give us your website and what maybe some of the events you got going over the next week or so. I just want to get that out so everybody can know where they can hear you live or any debates or anything.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you guys want, every night we do nightly TikTok town halls. We do it at Isaiah R. Martin, ISAIAHRMARTIN, starting at 11 o'clock p.m. Central. I know it's real late, but we want to make sure that everybody's off from work and right before they go to bed. If they want to ask me a question, they can certainly do so.
How great.
My website is isaiahmartin.org, ISAIAHMARTIN.org. Anybody that, you know, wants to sign up to volunteer, or also go forward and support our campaign, it's the best way to do so. We are legitimately everywhere. And I look forward to getting more and more across the district in the next few months.
Well, Isaiah, thank you for calling in, and thank you for sharing your opinions and your views. And again, I congratulate you on a lot of your shorts that you're putting out there, your 30-second or 1-minute clips about things. Keep doing it. I think you're educating the public a great deal.
Absolutely.
So thank you for calling in, my friend. I'll have you back.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, this is an interesting show, right? I knew it was going to be somber.
Yes.
We have more people that want to call in. Let's go to, is there Jesse there? I know we've got four of y'all on hold. Yeah. Please stay on hold. I'm going to try to get you all in. But I know there's a Jesse there. Jesse, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Is this Jumping Jess?
Yes, sir. Jumping Jess. That's your pleasure, sir.
Well, Jesse, thank you for calling in. You know, when you you have a big family, and y'all have been icons in Houston for so long. When you see something like what happened there at this camp and these young people, you know, what does that mean to you? And I mean, can you even imagine such a thing? And being, you know, some of your family members, let's pretend they were there and losing their lives at such a gloriously young age.
It's tough, but it's really tough because it really holds up. People's heart and tugs on me. My wife is crying every day because she's so sensitive and caring. But and to think it could be, you know, one of our children or one of our relatives, it really hurts. And I want to thank you, you know, for the prayer, you know, because you are talk inspiration and prayer. People forget about that. It is a tip from Gilbert, and thank you for the prayer that you have on every show and the prayer you had for the father today. And also, Gilbert, on the brighter side, I want to congratulate you for being selected. You know, one of the most admired CEOs in the city of Houston by the Houston Business Journal, because you're one of the most admired leaders we have in the city of Houston. So I want to congratulate you on that. And Gilbert, thank you for doing the great job you do. I just want to say a couple of more words that, you know, I want to congratulate Christina for all she passed the bill that this past Saturday, and every first Saturday of the month is going to be Small Business of the Month Saturday. So everybody can push for small businesses to get some support out there.
Oh, how great. That is so great.
And then the last thing, Gilbert, I read in the paper that George Foreman, the IV, is going to run for the U.S. Congressman in Shida's District 18. That's going to make 29 candidates running for that position, Gilbert. And I congratulate Denise Parker for being on your show. You are the political hotspot on the radio right now, Gilbert. Everybody comes to you, let you know what's going on. So, if you want to know what's going on, just listen to Gilbert Garcia and his radio show.
Jess, I am hugging you on the cyberspace right now. That's a big hug. I appreciate that. I'm going to reach out to George Foreman, the fourth. I believe he's the fourth. I have met the father, and I went to see him preach one time, and he's wonderful. Of course, he's no longer with us. But I want to reach out to him and make sure I give him some airtime to talk about his race. So, Jumpin' Jess, thank you for calling in, and please call in again.
Well, thank you, Gilbert. Congratulations again on your selection for being one of the most admired CEOs, because you're one of the most admired leaders in my book. If I had an award, I'd give you that award.
Thank you. Well, you know what? You just gave it to me, so I appreciate that, Jumpin' Jess, and we'll have you on the show soon.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you, too. So I'm just going to go. Remember, Houston, you can call in 832-570-8075. I am going to read a prayer right now, Ruby, if you don't mind. Yeah. Because I know we have a lot of callers. I'm going to get that next one. Who was the next one there? It was Mark. We're going to get Mark in if you want to start getting him in. I just want to read this prayer because I was just had one of my colleagues look at prayers of tragedy. And so here's one. Dear God, in times of tragedy, please grant those the strength to endure and the courage to preserve. Please, God, surround them with your mighty comforting presence, lifting them up when they are overwhelmed by sorrow. Please help them to find solace in your love, knowing that even in the darkest moments, your light shines the brightest. Please gift them the resilience to rebuild and the faith to believe in the future filled with hope. Amen. I mean, doesn't it just hit you? Yes, doesn't it just hit you? Beautiful. I mean, the whole thing of the resilience to rebuild, mm-hmm. It's going to take a while to rebuild, not only to rebuild those families and those lives, but the infrastructure in those camps. And
I hope they do move forward with that, because, again, I see firsthand what these camps do to kids by looking at my kids.
That's right.
It really built leadership skills, gave them character. And to this day, you know, they always say the best time in their lives they had was at camp.
Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And of course, we've talked about Ruby's kids before, but I got to give a shout out to Big Country. We say that because he's a big, strong man. Mm-hmm. He started his first day on Wall Street.
Today's the day.
I mean, I couldn't be more proud of him. He was an intern at our office.
Yes.
And, you know, it's beautiful to see interns come in and go and flourish. Of course, we have two that have been partners, that are our partners. A lot of them have been gone off to be citizens and leaders all over America. My own son was an intern here a couple of years ago, and now he's a three-year veteran on Wall Street. And so we're looking forward to Christopher Dang. If you're out there, Chris, listening, brother, we couldn't be more proud of you. So I'm going to go forward to the next caller here. So there's a Mark. Mark, are you there, Mark? Mark. Give me an M for Mark.
Hey, good morning, Gilbert. How you doing this morning? You doing all right this morning?
I am, and thank you for saying that and asking. I'm Gilbert Garcia with a tip from me, Talk, Inspiration, Prayer, with one of my longtime partners, Ruby Dang. And we're talking about what happened this past weekend, and we're talking about Camp Mystic. It's kind of a somber show, but at the end of the day, it's uplifting to hear the priests and so forth, and what they're doing is giving us hope. Yes. It's all about hope. But, Mark, what do you got for us? Anything you got for Houston and Harris County?
Yes, I just wanted to send a shout-out to all the families who got caught up in that situation on that 4th. And I just want to say this also, Gilbert, you always let us give us a tip. I just want to send a shout-out to all the young ladies and kids in Israel and all the other countries where these bombs are being dropped on these little babies out there also. We want to have a prayer for them also. And I do want to say, Gilbert, that if we wouldn't have had a convicted felon running the White House, the weather people could have at least notified some people instead of him firing these people and getting rid of people trying to save a dollar. And now you see what happened. Now you see what happened. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I say a tip from Gilbert. It's just like telling one person, tell another person. If somebody would have heard on the weather channel, somebody would have told the next door neighbor, told somebody, and could have saved these people. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So at the end of the day, we need to understand that this administration, I'm blaming it on the administration and the Republican Party, man, and Greg Evans, y'all need to get together, and y'all need to, it's moral, and y'all need to stop doing what y'all doing and just trying to make a almighty dollar, because at the end of the day, this man is doing things that doesn't make any sense, Gilbert. I mean, he's shorthanding the whole system right now. We don't want to shorthand the police department. We don't want to shorthand the 911 department, the fire department. When we show, now we see we do not want to shorthand the weather department. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So we need to really look into this, y'all. This is not looking good. You know what I'm saying? And prayers go out to the families and everyone and all the heroes. There was a lot of heroes, y'all, that saved people. They tried to save the people and got them people saved, and their life was taken. You know what I'm saying, Gilbert?
Yes.
So at the end of the day, they were doing the job that a lot of other people could have been done. But this administration, it starts from the top, y'all. It definitely starts from the top. So, Gilbert, I want to appreciate you for letting us come on and give us our opinion about this situation and prayer for everyone.
Well, stay on, my friend, for a second, because on the next show, I'm going to have, I believe it's Mike Doyle, who's the head of the Democratic Party, on my next show. And then I'm going to have lots of other good people coming up. I'm going to be advertising it so everybody knows. Next week, though, I am going to talk about something that's going to be, you know, hit you where you know, it matters, your heart, which is they did a survey, and they surveyed something in the order of, here it is, 6,500 Texans. They got responses over a two-year period, and this is from the Texas Energy Poverty Research Institute. And the bottom line is they said that citizens that are either low or moderate income, to be able to just pay for their electricity bill. So CenterPoint, come on. Just to pay for their electricity bill, they're having to cut back food, and they're having to cut back AC. Oh, they are putting their ACs on, you know, much different temperatures to be able to save and conserve money. And I just think about that. It's just terrible. I'm going to read a quote. Nearly 80% of low to moderate income residents who responded to this survey reported cutting back on basic household needs to afford electricity.
Wow.
That's terrible.
That is terrible.
That is terrible. As they continue to have big profits and those board members get paid a lot of money, and it's just somebody needs to step in, which is we got to do something for these folks, maybe a separate fund for them or something, because having to cut back food and this city of Houston, Texas, having your thermostat cutting back on AC, my goodness, that is just hard. So, Mark, what do you say to that, my friend?
I want to say this here from a tip from Gilbert. Gilbert, you had the number one man on your show. He was a man that was just elected, the district attorney. I tell you what, if you could hear me, and I know he's listening, if they want to cut back like that, let's start file charging on somebody got to go to jail, man.
We got to start locking. You got to start putting some people in jail, man. You see what I'm saying? And holding them accountable for this nonsense, man, that is going on. Cutting this electricity and doing it in the morning. I don't care about no politics or nothing. The DA, if you can hear it, man, if there's any kind of way y'all going to look into this here and try to start having a whole bunch of these people arrested, I know they're going to get bunted out, but we're going to stop them. We got to stop them. News that y'all got to do something, because this ain't making no sense, man. That's sad.
Well, I appreciate you because I can hear your passion, and that's what we need more of. And one of the things we got to do, Mark, is, my goodness, everybody, vote. Mm-hmm. If you want to make change, make some changes. That's the way to do it. Mark, thank you for calling in. I sure hope you call in again, pal. It's been fun to have you on this call.
Thank you, Gilbert.
Call in again. Thank you, Mark.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mark, what a great guy. I mean, you know, so knowledgeable, right? And you could tell he's talking from the heart. Let's go to, there's a Michael on the phone. Is there a Michael on the phone? Michael, are you there? Boy, we're just lighting up the phones today.
Yes,
Michael, speak to me.
Hello?
Michael, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, my friend. You got Gilbert Garcia, Tip for Me, Talk, Inspiration, Prayer with Ruby Dang, my sidekick. What do you have for us today? It's been kind of a more somber show, but yet it's uplifting about all the heroes and heroines and all the wonderful things people did to save lives, you know, to hear about the heroes, first responders, et cetera. And we, you know, got to have faith. What do you got for us today?
Yes, sir. So first and foremost, I want to say, you know, my prayers go out to all those who have been affected by this horrible tragedy out at this camp. But my question for you, Gilbert, was, you know, I'm 19 years old, and yet in all my years of life, I've seen so much loss. I had 5.5 feet of water in my house in Hurricane Harvey. My grandfather's house was destroyed during Tropical Storm Imelda, which from Uri caused so much damage around the Houston and Texas area. So I'm wondering, at what point is the onus on our state government, on our Texas, on our governor, on our state senate, on our state representatives, to have some sort of independence in these kinds of situations? At what point is our state government going to say, you know, we can no longer rely on the federal government for these funds, you know, with these cuts to FEMA, to NOAA, to the National Weather Service? At what point, you know, do we have to step in and say we're going to start defending ourselves and our people?
Well, I will tell you that I don't think it's clear yet what all is going to happen with this, you know, administration in Washington. So I think the states are sort of waiting. They just passed that bill, and I think they're still going to have to figure out the ramifications for nonprofits, for food stamps, and the like. And I don't think that a lot of the government cutbacks in a lot of these areas, whether it's weather-related or not, have really filtered through to really know the impact. But I think the time is now, because now's the time to ask questions, and hopefully our state government will have some hearings and start getting back to the bottom of what's going on. And if the federal government's not going to be supportive, at least let's know financially, that is, and then we can figure out what we need to do as a state, and therefore as a county, and therefore as a city. More than anything else, we need more information. This is now time zero of what just happened. And I don't really know, I don't think anyone really does yet, what impact any of the cutbacks have had on that. Yeah. My hunch is not really much. My hunch is this is just a act of God, a national tragedy, weather emergency, similar to you have no time to respond when a tornado hits. Yeah. But, you know, I want to be more thoughtful. Let's get into it, Michael, at a future show when there's more information. I think the number one thing, Anise Parker said it best, the number one thing right now is to save lives. Mm-hmm. And then the number two thing is to save lives. Mm-hmm. And the number three thing is really to rebuild. And there'll be plenty of time to really dig into what impact did any federal government cuts have or state government cuts, and what can we learn from this tragedy so it doesn't happen again. I think that's what we're really trying to focus on. So, Michael, I'm not dodging the question as much as I think it's premature. That is the right question. But we need a little bit more answers before we can really ask the incredible questions that need to be asked. So stay tuned. Stay tuned to this show. We're going to be updating things as people go along, and we'll let you know.
Thank you so much, Gilbert. Thank you for having me.
Michael, thank you for calling in. I want to get in one. I see that Amanda Edwards is on the line. I want to get her in. Let me do one. Let me go down. Hold up that. Hold it up for me. Let me go to Brother Chris real fast, and then we're going to take Amanda Edwards, who's a candidate for Congress, of course. Brother Chris, what do you got, my friend? Brother Chris. Brother Chris. I think we may have lost you, Brother Chris. Call in again. Oh, Brother Chris, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, good morning. I've got Amanda Edwards and three other people on deck, but I want to give you, because you've been so kind and supportive of this show, what say you about what's happening? I'm going to give you a minute or two.
You know, Brother Gilbert, I have a different kind of spin on this whole situation.
Go for it.
And you guys can look at it. I understand we're dealing with emotion. I also got to use like basic common sense. We can take this tragedy here and make it a triumph. All those elected officials out there that's listening, all those brothers out there that's listening, now y'all see the purpose of voting the right party to keep it to office. We got to avoid this vote. We got to vote those and have the right policies that been for everybody. And I hope we can take this tragedy here and make it come for those people that lost their lives. Remember to hear country stars. And now you take the hatred out your heart, the problem, the racism, and they say, well, if I'm voting for this person because they're going to do something that could be home to black people and Hispanic, or I'm going to just put them change the credit to everybody. Everybody knows that their National Weather Service has been cut. It was in constant protest. Let's put the truth on this stuff. It's time to stop lying and start with the truth out here. If I'm in, and I'm a firm believer, again, I say this here, but we can take this tragedy and make it out of trouble. Now, the people that didn't vote these folks off, now y'all see. Doing part of the voting right person and people in office. So, and I believe, based on this bill that's been passed, we watched this years ago. So we just can't do that. It's the same. It took some people to lose their lives for all the folks to open their eyes now.
Well, Brother Chris, you've always been wise. I think you just said it best. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. And the other thing is vote. Thank you, Brother Chris. Please call in again. I want to get Amanda before she jumps off. I know she's got a hard stop at 12. She called me earlier. Thank you, Brother Chris. Let's get Amanda Edwards on the line. Amanda, are you there? Amanda. Amanda Edwards.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can. Everyone, Houston, Harris County, this is, of course, Amanda Edwards, who we know because she's there's you know, she's all over. There's like five of her roaming around the city right now. Am I right, Amanda? There's like five of you right now. But I really mean she's been a member of city council. She's now running for a CD18. Amanda, when you see, because you've been involved for some time, when you see this tragedy, you know, what comes to your mind as a potential member of Congress and as someone who's been on council? What comes to your mind on all this, and what are your feelings about this tragedy there by the Guadalupe River?
You know, my heart goes out to those individuals who have lost their lives and the families that are going to be in the process of having to grieve those losses in that community as a whole. It's devastating. We know what mass devastation feels like in other cities and places when things like Harvey have happened and Katrina have happened. And we always want to make sure that not only do we express our condolences and you know, have sadness around the issue, but that we then prepare ourselves so that something like this could never happen again. And I think, you know, as someone who was a city council member during Harvey, which was at that time the second worst disaster in U.S. history, you know, I had to think about what policies do we need to be putting into place so that we don't see such widespread loss the next time there's some 500-year flood event. And I think leaders in that area and private business owners and others are going to have to ask a lot of questions around technology. How can we better forewarn people so that they aren't just caught off guard in the way that this happened? You know, in addition to that, you know, besides forewarnings, what are your plans with respect to how close you are to the river. I mean, you know, just various things that you're going to have to look at, setbacks, just a variety of things. And then, of course, how we build is a question you want to ask. And of course, a lot of the public education around this, right? And so we have a phrase here in Houston we use often, which is turn around, don't drown, or some iteration of that. People have to be aware that although you might be familiar with an area, generally speaking, you may not be that familiar when it comes to a flash flood. And it's very easy. It's very, very easy for you to get in a situation that you can't get yourself out of because the waters don't chance it. Just stay where you are, stay put, get to an elevated area. And then finally, I would say just coordination between the layers of government to rescue and provide recovery support, because rescue and recovery are two different things. And so we are in a moment right now that's been highly politicized by our president, where he said he wanted to dismantle things like FEMA and disaster recovery, you know, by saying that the feds shouldn't be putting those kind of resources into areas like these. But this is precisely the opposite of what is needed at a time like this. And so we have got to get serious about making sure that response is appropriate on a local level. You know, when Harvey hit us, I remember 911 was not sufficient at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, we got a lot of calls. It got overloaded. People were Facebook messaging. So there is a lot that goes on behind the scenes from a government coordination perspective that you can improve upon, and so that you don't revisit such tragedy again. And we want to express our condolences. And that is without question, but you can't stop at the condolences. You got to make sure that something like this cannot occur again.
Well, let me ask you, Amanda, because I know you have a hard stop, and it really coincides with our show when it turns off, because we're 11 to 12. Let me ask you, how's things going on the campaign trail? And I want to give you some airtime to talk a little bit about, do you have a position on flooding, and just where's your website, and what events do you have going this week, or anything like you want to share with Houston and Harris County, especially those listening in CD18?
Absolutely. You know, I have been so hands-on on the issue of infrastructure investment and flooding and disaster recovery. In fact, we have put out we have policies of the people, additions that we put out, just different things that I've been consistently involved in since Harvey struck our community 8 years ago. And so we cannot be in the business of only talking about infrastructure, only talking about disaster preparedness, only talking about disaster recovery when there are cameras there. Mm-hmm. And that is a live, you know, news cycle discussion. We got to be in the business of fixing those things when the cameras are gone and staying consistent. You know, I was just having a conversation. A conversation about this literally this week about, you know, the need and necessity, you know, with iGUIDE, all of those things, those concepts can't just be concepts that were tossed about around Harvey. These are all things long-term that investments that are needed for our region. And a lot of that comes from the feds. And so I have been a huge proponent of infrastructure investment. I have spent quite a bit of time and energy flying up and down in D.C. advocating for the right types of investment. I do agree that we have got to put those investments in place, but I also believe that we've got to overhaul the way FEMA works in a positive way, mm-hmm. meaning we can't just arbitrarily deny the most vulnerable residents. And so I had a New York Times piece I had to get written by one of my seniors when I was on council, who was arbitrarily denied her FEMA allocation. I nearly fell through the floor of her home. And mm-hmm. I knew that she had damaged. All her neighbors got their support, but some kind of way the flow water skipped her house, according to that adjuster. And it wasn't until that New York Times piece ran that they gave her money. You shouldn't have to go through a New York Times, have to have a New York Times piece in order to get access to funding. You know, these are ridiculous things.
That's terrible. Look, I'm glad they reported it, and I'm glad it came through, but that's terrible. Amanda, you got about 1 minute. I want to make sure I give you what we need for right now, the end here, which is, what's your website? Absolutely. You got any events coming up that people need to know about?
www.edwardsforhouston.com, and then you can also find us on social media at Amanda K. Edwards TX on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And then if you want to find us on Twitter or Blue Sky, you can find us at AK Edwards TX. We are all over the place. So you can find me at your local club meetings, civic club meetings, you name it. We're there and we're meeting the community members where we are. We're going to have an announcement coming up soon. So it's a little early to announce today on the show, but I'll be sending that information your way about some things we have coming up that people can get involved in.
Well, you are welcome to call anytime, Amanda. And of course, I'm going to have you back. I think you're scheduled or you're going to be scheduled there right before the election in September or so. So this, I want to say thank you to Amanda Edwards. We're going to sign off. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a tip from Gilbert, Talk Inspiration and Prayer, saying we'll see you next time.
This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert, Talk Inspiration and Prayer. Listen to my show every Monday from 11 to 12 on KWWJ 1360 AM, KYOK 1140 AM, KCOH at 1230KCOH.com, Sankeet Radio at 95.1 FM, 1460 AM, and Latino Sports, KEYH 850 AM. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then.